If you do something for others, you do something for the church, do something for your neighbor, do you do it because you expect some kind of reward or allocates? Or you do you do it simply because it needs to be done? There are two kinds of people that do things in the world. There are those that go about doing things quietly, and there are those who go about trumpeting what they're doing. I knew a man one time that I guess you would say he did a lot of good works, but every time he did it, he would make sure that both the people receiving the gift and those around to see him see them receiving the gift would understand he wasn't doing that so that people would pay attention to him. It was always for the grace of God. And I'm thinking that every time you have to tell people you're doing it for the grace of God, you're sort of tooting your own horn. Then there are other people who do not let their right hand know, or their left hand know, what their right hand does. And really what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is little things. Sometimes we think things are comprised of big things. And if you think about sports, for instance, and you're the guard on the football team. How many guards do you know the names of in the NFL? I don't know a single one. How many quarterbacks? Well, you may not know that because you may not follow. But the point is, people know the names of the quarterback of their team. They don't know the name of the guard. But the quarterback can't perform unless the guard does his job. So he's the little guy on the team. Sometimes I think in the work of the church, the little things are overlooked. And we look at, you know, big things. Sometimes big names or big preachers or whatever. We look at those things. But we forget that we are all, every one of us, servants in the kingdom. And sometimes we think if we don't have the ability maybe to do the big thing, or we don't have the authority to take what people often consider to be a prominent position, that somehow we're cheated by that. Or that because we can't do the big things, we can't do anything. They're kind of what we might call prestigious acts. I don't think they should be, but I think we often do that. And we forget to all that we do should be to the glory of God. And remember what we mean when we talk about glory to God. The focus of attention should be upon God. Sometimes there are people that like to be stroked. They want the attention for things that they do. And I've noticed sometimes that there are people that do exactly the same thing, and you won't hardly even think about one person having done it because they've been so quiet in accomplishing what they're trying to do, you don't even notice what they've done. You notice what is done, but not who does it. And the other person perhaps will do exactly the same thing, but everyone knows what they've done. But really my point is, and I don't want us to miss the point that I'm trying to make, the little things are often just as important or even more so than what we might consider to be the big things. The guard on the football team. Don't notice him, but he's pretty important. If you're and if you're the quarterback, you know that. I want us to look at this widow woman this morning. In 1 Kings 17. And I think she illustrates what can be accomplished by just the little things. The things that she does. Remember, this is during the time of Ahab and the famine, and we read that in there. And it's kind of interesting if you're paying attention, as Brother Charlie read that for us. It's the Lord said to Elijah, I have commanded this widow. But that's what God had said in order. I don't think there's any inference or indication whatsoever that the woman is aware that God is going to use her. He's going to use what she does. And I think there are a lot of things we can learn from her. And I'm not going to try to wear us out with this. I just want to kind of think of some of these basic points we might be able to draw from this widowed woman. And the first one is, it just doesn't take much for us to help others. Sometimes we, you know, as people, we sometimes think we have to have a lot before we can help other people. We have to have an overabundance or an excess. So if we don't have what we consider to be a lot, we really can't do anything. We have to wait on those who are in position to do that. And the truth is, this widow woman had very little with which to help other people. In fact, when she's asked for bread, she says, I don't even have bread. I've got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I can make a cake of bread, and that's what I was going to do, and I'm going to eat it and die. I mean, she's in what seems to be pretty desperate circumstances, isn't she? I'm just going to eat it and die. Now, if you follow the narrative, you see that the famine has, we're not told exactly how long, but it's been long enough that the brook has dried up, and the initial way that God was taking care of the prophet was now gone. And so he's told to move. You go somewhere else, I'm going to provide for you another way. That's what God tells him. And he sends him to a widow woman who has nothing. That's what you find. So when she's saying, I'm gonna fix this little bit of flour I have in the bread, I'm gonna eat it, and then I'm gonna die, that's exactly what she thought was gonna happen. And she is a victim of the drought. So that's what's happening with her. But I want us to think for a moment. Has God not blessed all of us with material blessings? Some more than others, perhaps. But all of us have material blessings. And sometimes when we're looking at things, we fail to recognize the blessings God has given us. And sometimes we compare them, and I'm not making this a general thing. I just want us to think about how sometimes we might think of things, and as someone said, sometimes the things you say reflect the things you've thought about and what you think about. And that's kind of what I'm doing this morning. Talking about me, in other words. Sometimes we think if we had more, we would do more. But what do we do with what we have is the real question. Sometimes we can just provide, and I'm not just talking about material things, I'm not just talking about sharing with others, I'm just talking about whatever we might be able to contribute to the blessings and grace of the kingdom. We don't have to have a lot to do that. We don't have to have, as one man said one time, there are five talented people, there are two talented people, there are one talented people. I know he's aberrating a little bit the parable that Jesus is talking about, but he was making a good point. Not everybody's a five-talent person, perhaps. Not everybody's a two-talent person. Sometimes we're just one-talent people. So what do we do with the one talent we have? Do we make use of it? Do we put it to use? This widow woman illustrates for us the spirit, really, of generosity. Even one who doesn't have very much to be generous with. I mean, it's easy for us to say, and perhaps this is even so, what difference did it make if she shared what she had left with the prophet? The result was going to be the same, at least in her mind. The result was going to be she was going to have this last morsel of bread, and then she'll have no more and she'll die. So she's willing, you know, at least to do that. But it really illustrates a true spirit of generosity, doesn't it? I will do this. And note in the text that she was concerned about how little she had left. She does have a concern about that. But yet she was willing to share it. even though she didn't have much. And what should we learn from that? Well, we might have a whole list of things we might say about that, but I'm just going to say this morning, we just ought to be generous with whatever it is we have. Share with others whatever we need. My father used to do this. He would have, a piece of candy, maybe just one piece. And he would say, if you had just one piece of candy, would you give it to me? And we were children, and you know what we'd say? We'd all, I can remember each one of us in that circumstance would say, yes, we'd give it to you. And he'd say, okay, thank you. The real point is we need to make sure we're doing what we should be doing and all we can be doing. In Luke chapter 21, we read there Jesus observing the giving in the treasury. And it says the rich were putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Two mites is nothing. It would be thinking about, to illustrate today, I think it would be appropriate to say a couple of pennies. Through a couple of pennies. How do we look at pennies? I mean, you're walking down the street and you see a penny on the sidewalk. Will you stoop over and pick it up? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. I do too. But there are a lot of people, that's why the penny's on the sidewalk. They won't pick it up. It's worth so little. Ben Franklin's a penny saved, penny earned doesn't go very far. You have to pick up a lot of them to even buy a candy bar, wouldn't you? But here she throws in two mites. And the point is, it's very, very little. Like a couple of pennies. And so he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of the abundance have put in the offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, if you were to ask me, and we were just studying that passage, I would probably share with you that I believe she had trust in God to provide. But we're not told that in the text. What Jesus observed, though, is that she gave all that she had, and she gave from her poverty. And Jesus noticed this woman because she was willing to give from what she had. And even though it wasn't a great amount of money, it was a great sacrifice. So the value of the giving was not in proportion to the amount of money that it was, is the point. And the same thing's true of this widow in 1 Kings 17. She did not give a lot, because she didn't have a lot to give, but she gave a lot of what little she had to give. And she made a great sacrifice to Elijah. Now Elijah tells her there's a reward coming, but she gives this before she understands what will happen. So this widow teaches us that we need to even have a desire to help other people. I once knew a man that would tell me quite often, as he began his own business and he began to run the business and he began to look like he was going to eventually at least succeed in the business. And he used to tell me, when I get to this point in my business, I'll be able to help people. I'll be able to do this, and I'll be able to do that. And I have these great plans for when I'm a successful businessman. And I observed him over the years as he actually did become a successful businessman. And I kept looking for those things that he said he was going to do when he became a successful businessman. But he was never quite successful enough to do the things that he had planned to do in doing his business. And that kind of reminds me of Jesus saying, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. If as he was growing his business, he was doing what he could to to do the things that he said, I have these great plans to do in the future. If he'd have done in a smaller amount, the same things, can you imagine what his business might have done? And by the way, he's still waiting. Still waiting to do those things. So some people say, if we had more, we'd do more. But what have we done with what we've done? With what we do have. And again, I'm not talking just about material things. I know kind of the emphasis has been upon that, but it's not on that with the widow in 1 Kings 17, is it? It's not her money that we're talking about. If we really have the desire to help others, we'll find a way to do it, won't we? We'll find the time, the energy, the effort, and all the things that are involved in helping others. One of the people that I've admired most in my life had very little material possessions. And it almost seemed like in the material things he had, he didn't really know how to handle. Didn't have enough to worry about. But this person expended a lot of energy and time and skill in helping other people. If you ask him to do something for you, and he didn't know how to do it, he'd find out how to do it, and then he'd do it for you. Not a lot of material things to share, but was willing to give of himself in those things. I suppose the widow in 1 Kings 17 could have turned her back on Elijah. Said, I don't have it, and you can't have what little I do have. I know the passage says God had commanded her. God is going to use her to do that. But look at the person he chose to do those things. Do you think there weren't any wealthy people in the country that he could have sent Elijah to? Don't let us think that we can't help others with whatever we have. Whatever we have to offer. And why did this widow do what she did? Because she had the right attitude. She had the right attitude. So if we set our mind on the right attitude, then we'll accomplish doing the right things because we have the right attitude. And here's an idea. If we have anything at all, how can we turn our back on those who have nothing at all? Now, I want you to think probably, I don't know if you thought of it or not, but I had to think through this to think of this. The widow had, and Elijah had not. Did you notice that? So even what she had, though it was very little, was more than Elijah had. And so she gave to Elijah of what she had to the one who had nothing at all. I believe she shows a demonstration that she is willing to help others first. What does Elijah ask of her? You bring me. You bring me first. You bring me. And then good things will happen. But you bring to me first. And that kind of defines what true giving is, isn't it? To look out for others in a first way. Again, we could just touch on the point of sometimes we think of giving from our excess, but do we look to the good of other people before our own good first? That's a principle in the New Testament, by the way. It is a principle for us to think about that we, as Paul put it in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, esteem others better than yourself. And he said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So when I'm doing something, I need to think about what's good for the other person. Sometime to what at least appears to be a detriment to me. To put others first sometimes will put me out. And I have to think about that, don't I? That was the directions given, you know, by Elijah to this widow. And what it does, it ends up showing true faith on her part. I will put Elijah first. I will do this. So, really, what is Paul saying to the Philippians? We can put it in one word, or two words, or three words. I want to put it in a sentence now. Don't be selfish. That's what he's saying. In the one word that I would choose to use, be selfless. Selfless. But there's something else I see in this widow. When we give in service to God, God will always reward us. Now, I don't know if we should be thinking in terms of, if I do enough service, God will have to reward me abundantly, so let me see what I can get. But the principle of God rewarding for service is throughout the scriptures. And what was the reward for this widow? Elijah said, until the drought's over, till the rain comes, your oil will not cease, your flour will not cease, you will have enough to eat. And that's what happened to her. So this one who thought, I'm going to take this bit of flour, and this bit of oil, make me cake and die, she gets a reward that blesses her to the end of the drought. How much does she give for that reward? What was the multitude of blessings that came to her from that little bit of flour and that little bit of oil? 100-fold? 1,000-fold? 10,000-fold? I don't know. But it was sufficient, wasn't it, to do what God said? Paul applies that principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 when he's talking to the Corinthians about supplying and giving to those that are needful. And you know what he says? Do not give sparingly. He's saying to the Corinthians, you give generously. Now, the Corinthians had the ability to do that. When we read of other brethren in the New Testament, we read, for instance, about the Thessalonians. They were not in the same condition, were they? And you know what it says? They gave even of their poverty. They give even more than Paul ever expected. So they dug down deep and gave even of their poverty. He had to prompt the Corinthians who had it, and he just commended the Thessalonians who didn't have it. You see the difference there? That's a difference in attitude. Have you ever read about the great potato famine in Ireland? Anybody ever read about that? Do you know the famine followed a harvest that was more than they had ever recorded before? Did you know that? That's part of history sometimes forgotten about. They had a huge crop of potatoes, and what they did was, instead of using, as they normally would have, using the seed, as they normally, they tried to skimp on their seed and use their potatoes in a different way so they could sell all this abundance and make more money. And what happened was it turned into a famine because they sowed sparingly, was the point. You know what Jesus says in principle? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. So let's go back to this widow for a moment and think about her. Did she sow sparingly or abundantly? Well, she just had a little oil and a little bit of flour, so it had to be sparing, right? Nope, that's all she had. She sold all she had in doing this. And then she reaped. So God provides for her all that she needs in eating once she shared with Elijah. That was her sowing. Today, God has promised to provide for us that which we need. Yes, he has. Dwayne read that for us this morning in Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 6. Yeah. What will we trust in? You know what he's saying to us? Have faith in him. I'm not going to read it again, Dwayne. But we get the point. Sometimes there perhaps are people that don't give back to God because they're afraid if they give generously back to God, they won't have enough for what they need. I had a brother. I would never tell you who it was. Wouldn't know him anyway. But came to me one time and said, my family just doesn't have enough. We're really struggling. And the Lord's not providing for us. That was his complaint. The Lord's not providing for us. And I said, well, how much do you give the Lord on the Lord's day? He said, I have four children and they all give 50 cents a week. That's $2. I said, how much you make? Well, I don't want to go into those details, but I'm going to tell you this. When he told me how much he made, I thought, how come you can't provide for your family with that much money? But the real point I wanted to make to him was he wasn't going to give to the Lord because he thought anything he gave to the Lord took out of his ability to spend for what he wanted. He's missing the point, wasn't he? By the way, don't try to figure out who it was in this congregation because it wasn't in this congregation. I just don't want to plant the wrong seeds in anybody's mind. But I want you to see the point. The end point is we must have confidence that God will take care of us. There's another point I'd like us to see before I close this morning, and that is that the widow, 1 Kings 17, shows us that little things add up really in the end to big things. She didn't have so much, but she's rewarded in a big way. She could continue to make bread for her and herself and her son, and since she had faith enough to do what Elijah commanded her to do. Jesus has a principle that he gives us in Matthew chapter 10. He says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Do you have to have a big thing to give to people, or you have to have a lot of money or a lot of material things, or even a lot of physical work that you can do for them? You have to do that in order to get reward? Jesus says, just give water. Somebody needs water and you give them water. What have you done? You've blessed them in those things. And I just see in that the point that God can accomplish great things through little people, of which I'm one. And sometimes we do things, we think it's insignificant, but we don't know. You know, it's like tossing a pebble in a pond that's completely calm and still, and we watch the ripple that goes throughout the pond from that little pebble. The little thing that we do sometimes has great reverberations, things that happen. So trust God is the point. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus talks about things that we, I think, would consider little things that were really important. doing them for our brethren or for our fellow man. And Jesus said, if we do these things, for them it's the same as if we do it to Jesus himself. And that's kind of the point he's making. People would say, well, now if Jesus was here, I would do this. I'd do this for Jesus. But will you do it for your fellow man? You know what he says? Somebody's hungry, give them food. If somebody's thirsty, give them a drink. If they're a stranger, need taken in, need hospitality is the point. Take them in. Provide. If they're naked, give them clothing. That doesn't mean you have to wait till you see somebody literally stark naked walking down the road before you give them clothing. It means when they're in need of clothing, give them clothing. If they're sick, see to their sickness. That's what visiting the sick means. See to what you can do in that. And he said, in prison, you came into me. You're helpful. Jesus isn't talking about these as being big things. He's talking about them being little things that we're doing. You know, the Pharisees kind of went to the opposite extreme, I think. You know, they put emphasis on the details, and they put the emphasis on things that could be seen by other people. You know, the things they overlooked were really not the big things. And Jesus said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes and mint and anise and cumin and neglected the weightier matters of the law. You've done these little, but you've left out some things. These things you ought to have done, he says, without leaving the others undone. So when we're talking about these things this morning, whatever it is we find, everything. But hopefully the purpose is not to discourage, but to encourage us. Don't let us think, unless there's some big thing that we can do, that we shouldn't do the little things that we can do. Whatever they are. And whether we're noticed or not noticed, it doesn't really matter. Because God is the one who will reward us. So don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. And God will give you the reward. So we need just be, and sometimes we need to be satisfied just to do the little things. But little things can help someone else. Give them assistance, give them help. And don't begrudge it when we do. Do the little things. And remember, God will reward us. We need to do what we can, however small or insignificant it may seem to be, even to us. And don't let us say, well, nobody will notice. Because if we're doing it right, nobody will notice. It won't matter. That's really all I have to say this morning. I thank you for listening. But I hope it's encouragement.